This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hi, again.
Hello. We've just done like 15 minutes of...
Oh, 25.
Oh, 25 minutes of talking nonsense and you talking to my dog and...
Yep.
Hello.
Hello again.
Hello for our viewers.
Do you have questions?
I do have questions. So we're going to start like a little bit intense, but...
Okay.
I mean, it's nothing crazy. It is like based around my trauma, but...
Trauma.
So...
That was sarcastic in case that wasn't clear.
Well, that's kind of rude. It's fine. I'm not re-traumatized. It's okay.
Thank you. Good.
So, you already know because you're my friend, and people that listen to this regularly are somewhat aware, but I just have a really, like, hugely traumatizing childhood. And kind of ridiculously so. My ACE score is really, really high. And the other day, it was pointed out to me. So my ACE score is 8, right? And I was talking to a friend that's professional, like, is a counselor professionally, like, that's her career. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I have... you know, worked with someone with like a higher ACE score, but there's more that goes into it. Like there's like duration and whatever. Sure. But also I realized, I can't remember what the two are that didn't fit me, but I do know one of them. Oh, one of the ones that I don't have, you have.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know if it was during, I think it was maybe before your time though, actually. But the one that I don't have is a parent that's been in prison. But I don't know if it counts if it's like before you're alive or not.
Oh, okay.
So I don't.
Yeah, I also don't know that one. Okay, so yeah, I might have it or I might not have it.
Yes, you may or may not have that one. But one of the things that I was thinking about it is, if it wasn't the 90s and there was like any oversight and this person had been caught, like they did things that should have gotten them arrested, right? So look at the draw on that. I mean, I think it still doesn't count because I think there's like the specific trauma of like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't write the test.
Sure.
But
I get what you mean though.
Yeah. So anyways, this is not Trauma Olympics. That's not my point.
No, I know.
But my background with my trauma is important because recently, really randomly, right? So you kind of already know this, but in the book that I'm writing, I had stopped like actively writing and then I went back to actively writing. And when I was doing that, like a new deity / character or whatever popped up and she has PTSD, right? And so I was like asking my professional therapist friend about PTSD things for her. And I had mentioned, like, I don't know that much about PTSD and CPTSD other than to know that I must have it because you don't really, like, have my childhood not have it. And she was like, oh, yeah. But it was, like, at the end of the call. So I was like, oh, okay. And so my point being, and she was able to respond that way because we've known each other for a really long time and she knows that that was not going to, like, re-traumatize me, blah, blah, blah. Right? But I did end up looking it up and doing all of the stuff where I'm like, oh, you know, all of the stuff that I knew were trauma responses, I now have like a name for and like how they fit and CPTSD. And then that made me realize a bunch, made me realize things that let me put names to various trauma related things like failure to encode memory in childhood for a long time. And, post-traumatic collapse as opposed to autistic burnout, although I have now talked to her again and I'll tell you all about this offline. But she's like, I would suspect, and you should look into having both at the same time, because that's probably what was going on with you.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And that tracks.
Yeah.
But anyways, my point is, and it's like, and then there's been more stuff that has come up as I talked to her again, and I asked her a bunch of questions and whatever. Anyways, my point is less about the trauma and more about the fact that all of these like old, deep, intense, at the time that they happened, like huge traumas, some of which apparently were not even like meet the criteria as child torture and not just abuse. So like deep, heavy stuff, right? But also stuff that I worked on ages, like, or worked through, right? So I'm not like in the beginning of my healing, I'm not none of this, like all of this was just validating and not re-traumatizing, right? And so all of that, like I get a new piece and then I'm like, oh, that is logically fascinating. And then I sit and think about it. And then I'm just like, oh, that's also validating. And then now I can move on and feel better because this is, you know, like, whatever. I suspect this has to do with my like half Saturn return, but, I just thought this is probably a really good deep dive time to deep dive into the transits that are going on in my chart and like, what the fuck? And I'm assuming it's towards the end because these are big, like, periods at the end of trauma, kind of. Like, I mean, not that you don't ever really, like, you know, you're healed. You have, like, now your trauma, like, goes back to zero. And, yeah, you know, no, like, I don't mean it like that, but it
is.
Like,
I know.
You know, like, you're as healed as you're going to be, kind of. Things. Yeah. And it just, it does really feel like a period at the end of a sentence.
Kind yeah.
of and that makes has sense. To be showing up in my transits.
I'm sure.
No, it's not.
Let's have a look. I think I've looked at where.
That'll be Psyche.
That's Psyche. Oh, right. Oh, look at that. Like that close conjunction to your sun.
Yeah. So, I mean, this doesn't matter for this, but Sappho's also right in that conjunction too.
Yeah. Yeah,
like they're all together.
That's okay. And there's Memory. I'm not trying to say her name because I always fuck it up.
So I did look it up. It's I just always say it wrong first. So in my head, it's Nemoisi, which is wrong. It's Nemosini.
Nemosini. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. But she's also decently close conjunct with Lilith here.
Yeah.
Like, they're in different signs because like they're both like right on the edge, but like still and next to Pluto. Okay, sorry, I jumped right back in probably right after the moment where there was gonna be a cut somewhere. So I'm gonna just recap. This is your chart, this is your birth chart. We put Psyche, the asteroid in here, and we also put Nemoisini in here, who is the goddess of memory, because that is a big part of how your trauma shows itself, that you basically have no memory before, what is it, like 10 years old, I think, right?
I have one memory at 9 years old, and all my other memories are at 10, and I always thought, so just very briefly, I have always thought that that was due to memory suppression, and my general thought has always been like, well, if it was bad enough that my brain was like, hey, you shouldn't remember this, I believe my brain, that's fine. I can't tell you why I found this healing, but I did find it really like healing to find out that it's not suppressed memory, it is failure to encode. So if a child that is that young is in an unsafe environment, then your brain basically goes, well, you can create memory or you can survive. So we're going to choose to survive. And then the reason that my memory kicks in when it does is there's two things. One of the main thing is between the ages of 9 and 10, your brain's ability to process information doubles. So yeah. even if the trauma remains the same, you now have the ability to do both. So now I can have memory and survive this traumatic environment, right?
Yeah. Also around that age, your brain does a bunch of stuff, a bunch of growth that happens.
Right.
Around that time. Yeah. I know that because I have kids. So
yeah. So the other thing that I found very interesting is that, so my first memory is very, very clear where I was and what we were doing when they rolled a TV on, like, into the room, because we were not like at home watching this on TV. We were actually at my mother's church, and they like wheeled in a TV and said, "The Berlin Wall is falling."
Oh.
And we all watched it on this, like, you know, great, like, grainy 80s television. Wheeled in on this, like, it was a weird thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I can still, like, conjure the image of the people that were, like, tearing it apart and, like, what the wall looked like and everything. And I always thought that that was weird, that that was my first memory. But apparently, it is a part of the traumatic structure, because the reason that is my first memory, and so that happened in 1989. That's why I know that I have one memory from when I was nine.
Yeah.
Because I'm old, and now everybody knows I was born in 1980, because I am old. Also, if you've been paying attention to my chart at all, I've also seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the reason is specifically because it was an emotionally charged event that was happening to other people that were very far away. And so thus, right. it was safe. It was a safe way to explore emotions, because they weren't mine, they weren't belonging to anybody that I knew. They were on the other side of the world at that time. And
that makes sense.
And so that's why I guess that's, like, actually a kind of a textbook first memory for a heavy traumatized child that hasn't begun encoding memories. So
yeah.
Anyways, that's why we're looking at Nemosini.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we've already covered a bunch of that stuff when it comes just to your birth chart. Like, I think we've talked before about your Chiron placement. It's in your eighth house in Taurus, right next to Ceres. And Ceres is very complicated, but can, amongst other things, I don't want to piss anyone off who works with her. Because I also like her, is the irony of this. I like her. Right. So, but one aspect of her is definitely the toxic mother.
Yeah.
It is interesting that Chiron and Ceres are in a close conjunction in Taurus in your eighth house. The eighth house is the house of darker things, more taboo things, things like sexuality, kink, death. But also of other people's resources and how they affect us. So it's very interesting that that's where your Chiron and your Ceres are. Like, I'm sure that your mother also has a bunch of trauma that affected the way that she mothered, and then that affected you and traumatized you.
I've been looking for her trauma for my whole life. Her family, sure. lovely. Yeah. It's actually really super hard to find her trauma. I have things to tell you about that. But
sure. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So obviously, when we look for things like that, trauma in general, we look towards Chiron if we work with asteroids. If you don't work with asteroids, you probably look at Saturn, also somewhat at Pluto. Saturn is like restrictions, limitations, boundaries. Saturn can be very strict, and Pluto is like tearing things down to build things back up. Like, this is a very brief overview, obviously, that I'm giving. But yeah, so my first go-to when I look at these themes is always Chiron, because Chiron is the wounded healer. And I like the fact that it's not just the trauma, but it's also how we heal from that trauma, and through healing that trauma, how we can be the healer for others, how we can help others through the rough shit that we've had to go through to make it, you know, at least not completely useless. You know, like, what is the lesson here? What are we learning from? I like to look at trauma in that way.
Also, I think he is like super like in a sextile with my Mercury. So he's like, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, I got you. I'm doing it.
Yeah. And specifically, he's in a sextile with Mercury in Pisces in your sixth house. So Pisces gives it the very like dreamy, sort of artsy, kind of up in the clouds energy. And then the sixth house gives it that routine based. Like, that is very not Pisces, actually. This is the opposite of Pisces. So, you have both, probably. Like, you can be very routine-based with it. You would probably be okay going to therapy every week and have, like, an hour every week talking about that stuff. But you could also be the complete opposite and just, I want to vent when I want to vent, and I need emotional connection to be able to vent. To someone, I can't be like really, like it can't be a stranger. It has to be someone I care about and someone that cares about me that I vent to. That's the Pisces aspect of that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So now this again was a very brief overview, but because we've looked at your chart many, many times, I'm probably not going to go much deeper.
Yeah.
Into the birth chart aspect. So let's put transits on here. So, okay, yes, because we've already mentioned him, let's start with Saturn. You are still, yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you're in the last half, basically, of your of your Saturn half return, but like it's still there. It's like
I'm in the last half, so how much longer is that going on for?
Let's see. See when Saturn moves out of Pisces. There it is. Okay, ingress to Aries on February 14th.
Not much longer.
So,
about a month.
Like, so I wouldn't put the end there. I would put the end of the end. Okay. So it's like, because, well, okay, this would be something that astrologers would fight about. Technically, it moves out of the sign that is opposite the sign that your natal Saturn is in, but it's still in the house that is opposite the house that your natal Saturn is in.
Right. Okay.
If I would use whole sign houses, for example,
right,
then the point it leaves the sign is the point where the transit ends. I'm not using whole sign houses though. I'm using Placidus. So it's more of a gradual ending, right? So if we come to that point and moves out of Pisces, that will make things lighter, that will make things, you know, easier. It will start to slow down all the bullshit that this Saturn half return has brought you.
Right.
Will simmer out. But like, it's not entirely gone, right? It'll be entirely gone when it moves. And I think I can look that up too. Let's see. Yes, I can. They've put all these new features in here. Okay, so it leaves the house in April. April 12th, right? And that is when I would be like, okay, so now it's gone.
Over.
Now it's gone. You're not in your Saturn half return anymore. It's over, right? So.
Okay.
Hold on a few more months.
Yay!
Yeah, it hasn't been great. It hasn't been fun. So,
yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me that that is the transit during which all of these things are coming up, because it's also, you know, and we've talked about this before too, it's in your 6th house, 12th house axis. So it's all to do with physical body stuff and mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. So there we have, you've had a lot of things to do with your physical health.
Yeah.
Now we have the things to do with your mental health also in there.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That. Right. that is a lot of fun. I'm just quickly scanning to see what is Ceres doing? The transiting one. Okay. Let me check when she's doing a thing. Okay. So you're not gonna like this, but so this isn't as like isn't nearly as dramatic as the Saturn stuff, just to preface it with that. Okay. So don't start worrying. But also your Ceres is about to have her return in your chart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
she's entering Taurus, which is the sign that your natal Ceres is in, on March 15th.
So what does a Ceres return do for me?
I mean, I can't really quote anyone on that because that is one of those things that no one really looks into.
What's your intuition? About that.
So because it's so your natal one is so closely conjunct with your natal Chiron, it might bring up these themes again, right? Where you mm-hmm. and it I mean, I guess it has already sort of done that with, you know, these conversations that you're having right now with your friend about these themes. And just so if you want me to give you advice, which you can take it or leave it as always, but like my advice would be don't expect these themes to now just be done with. You've heard these things and okay, woo, great. It's over. There's still like something's going on in the back of your mind and it doesn't have to be a huge, big thing. Just, you know, you're going to have a few more months here where that's gonna be present, and it ultimately can be a good thing always, right? There's healing going on, you're moving forward.
Well, I was just
it's not a moving forward as quickly as you would probably prefer, where it's like, okay, I've heard these, I have all the facts now, I'm done with it.
Well, I was gonna say that I'm like kind of joking when I'm like, oh no,
I know,
because like it's been fine, right? Like,
I know.
It's been like every time I've learned the next thing, I've been like, oh, like when I say like that's intense, I only mean that like it was intense the first time around. Like it's not intense now. Like I'm so far no contact with these people.
I know that's why so in the beginning when you were like, it's about my childhood trauma, I was like, ooh, trauma. We can.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic and obviously very heavy, but it's not that. Right. So and I'm not saying it's gonna like knock you over and you're gonna be totally like screwed up, but just, you know, there's something in the back of your head still working on these themes and you're still doing the healing, so you might just notice that going on. You might notice that you still think about the things that you've now learned from your friend, and you still maybe make connections there to your childhood, and things might come up where you're like, oh, this also makes sense for that thing or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Can I ask you specifically about, so which asteroid is it that's sitting right on top of my natal Mercury?
This one.
Yeah.
That's Lilith.
Right. Okay. Right.
So that also tracks for everything that's going on right now. So
sure.
The asteroid Lilith, so I don't know if I've explained that before, so I'm going to briefly explain it again. I work with mostly two, sometimes three different Liliths. Mm-hmm. So that is the asteroid Lilith. That is this one. And then we have Black Moon Lilith. That is this one. That is the little moon sigil with a little cross underneath that a lot of people use. That is not an actual physical thing in the sky. It's a mathematical thing. Don't ask me to explain how it is because I don't do maths. and then sometimes there's another asteroid that is called the Dark Moon. That is also a Lilith one that I also sometimes incorporate. But so basically, what those are is the asteroid Lilith is the one that talks about your early life. So let's say the first 20-ish years of your life, and specifically the hardships that you had to go through, the traumas, specifically it can be sexual traumas, things like that, or things to do with your gender, your sexuality, any hurtful, painful things like that. And then Black Moon Lilith, that's the little moon sigil one, in case you're only listening and not looking at the screen. She's the adult grown version of that. So she is the one that, okay, how do I incorporate this trauma? How do I heal from it? How do I empower myself? So she is similar to Chiron, but where Chiron is all about the being of service and the part where I want to use this shitty thing that happened to me, or things, plural, and turn it into something good and help other people. And how do I do that? That's Chiron. Black Moon Lilith is more about how do I benefit from it? How do I empower myself? How, and those can be dark things, like Lilith governs revenge. She governs darker, kinky things that I can use to heal from sexual trauma. Huge trigger warning here. Obviously, I'm going to put that somewhere in the chapters. But yeah, so, and then if we use the third Lilith one, that is like the old version of you, and how have you gone through life with these traumas, these burdens, these, you know, what happens after, basically, you've empowered yourself, right? So what you do, what do you do with the empowerment? So I've forgotten why I was explaining that, but that's okay. Oh, right. I remember. So the Asteroid Lilith. So that is your young self, your young, the beginning of your trauma, right? All the heavy shit is right now transiting over your natal Mercury.
That makes sense.
And that is when you're having conversations, that is Mercury, with your friend about your heavy, dark childhood trauma.
And it's, you know, sextile, because obviously, so it's, because it's on top of the Mercury, that means it's
sextile. Yeah, it is. It is sextile, the original, like, trauma placement in your chart, the Chiron conjunct series in your eighth house. Yeah.
And it's also trine, I don't ever remember what that sigil is, but also Jupiter.
Yes.
Right now. So transiting Jupiter.
Yeah, so it's trine your natal Juno in your 10th house.
Right.
And that is brain stuff, but also relationship stuff. So Juno is Hera, so Zeus's wife.
Right, okay.
So it's all about fated relationships and also jealousy and the smarts that come with that, basically.
Yeah.
That's Juno. So, yeah, it's going to have an effect on that aspect in your life, obviously. And Jupiter just makes things bigger.
Yeah.
Basically. Obviously, it's more complex but, than that. But
sure.
That's the big thing that Jupiter does. It's the great expander. It just makes everything bigger, be it good or bad.
Yeah. It's funny because people are kind of like super hyper-focused on Jupiter's like good qualities, but it can expand anything.
So. Yes. Yeah. And that is due to, in part, ancient astrology being really popular again, because in ancient astrology, Jupiter is like a great benefactor.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is definitely a lucky planet. I mean, it's my chart ruler. I love Jupiter. Jupiter is great. But also, it can also make the shitty stuff bigger. Like, if it's in some beneficial aspect with, like, Mars or Saturn or Chiron, for fuck's sake, like, that doesn't sound fun.
I just think it's interesting that the other sextile it has is with the transiting Sun, Venus, Mars conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
Which has to be.
Yeah, I mean,
with this.
Yeah, I mean, so the sun, especially when we look at the transiting sun, is the one that shines a light on things. So it always just, it's like a little highlight, a little flashlight, a little, let's look at this thing more closely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Venus is the one that affects your senses, your creativity, your finances, right? And all of these aspects can obviously be affected by trauma. And then sure. Mars just basically throws fire on it.
And I now remember that the fourth house is childhood.
Yes, exactly. It's the, and specifically the house of the mother.
Yeah.
So if we,
I'd forgotten that part.
So every kind of person that you have in your life also has a house that that person gets placed in. The mother gets placed in the fourth house. So, yeah.
I mean, I was just proud of myself for remembering anything at all about the fourth house.
And then I had to go like, well, I can be a smart ass about it and tell you the things that you did not remember.
Fine.
I just had to emphasize the fact that, I mean, you already got a big part of how precise this is, but it's even more precise because it's not just childhood, it's also specifically the mother. So
yeah,
does that answer your question, or do you have
it does follow-ups? But I want to know where the transiting the other two asteroids that are transiting, Nemesini.
Oh, there she is. So she is going through your third house of communication. So of course you're talking about, and she's in a trine with transit in Chiron. So you're having conversations about trauma. She's sitting right on top of your natal Neptune too. And Neptune is, I've referenced Neptune as the spiritual planet a lot, but Neptune is also governs lies and deception. So that fits, right. I think.
Yeah, that fits.
Also in a sextile with your natal Pluto, and a lot of your trauma also, you know, is governed definitely by Pluto. It's in a trine with your natal Jupiter and Mars. So more fire and more expansion, basically.
Yeah,
great. Tracks. Sounds awesome.
I knew there was a reason we should look her up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's see where
the other one was. Psyche
is that her? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so Psyche.
That makes sense. She's in the ninth house, and I'm like, this is all fascinating.
Yes, you have a very intellectual approach, and that's the ninth house, definitely. Ninth house is all to do with learning and study, especially higher learning and study, and also worldview. And I think that fits too, because it has changed your view on how, like, on your own childhood, but also on how it affects you today. You've learned new stuff about that. No? Yes?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I haven't learned anything new about myself aside from, so the only thing that I learned that was new was the thing that I said about memory, like, so memory not being a suppressed thing, but a failure to encode. Mm-hmm. And then like a different, and then what I was like, this is just autistic burnout, was autistic burnout and post-traumatic collapse. But mostly it's things that I already knew. Even those two things are things that I already knew. Like I knew that I didn't have any memories from that. Sure. And I knew that I've been in some kind of like, you know, physical collapse, whatever. Mm-hmm. For 5 years, and I'm really fucking tired of it. but it was not really about learning new things about myself. It was about putting names to things.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good way.
Which.
But that still fits, I feel like.
No, it definitely fits, because that is an academic. So, like, that's a very academic thing. Yes. Right? Yeah. Is going like, I did this and this and this, and I always knew that was a trauma response. And now I know that this is the name for that particular trauma response or whatever, that's connected to CPTSD instead of just, you know, just garden variety trauma response.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And we have a square here between Psyche and your natal Mercury.
Okay.
So, in general, that is why that is red, because the square is a harsher aspect than, let's say, a trine that is
right
green. That is like similar in most apps, but just don't be confused if it looks different in if you're using like a web app or something to look at stuff. But in general, squares and oppositions are red in most of them, I think, because they are harsher, and they're more to do with like some conflict going on here. So having Psyche and Mercury in that square just basically gives us everything else to do with this specific situation has been very harmonious, and everyone is basically working together. There's lots of trines and sextiles, and everyone is like, so I always like this picture of, if you look at a birth chart, that is the theater stage, and all the planets and asteroids are actors, and the aspects are the way they are interacting with each other. So if they have a trine, they're very harmonious, like they can work together to achieve great things. And then if they have a square, there's some fighting, there's maybe some jealousy here, there's like this is harder, right? So this is the one that gives us that kind of energy into this whole entire situation that you're going through.
That surprises me, though, because what's that about?
So it doesn't mean that, like, Psyche, the asteroid, and Mercury, the planet, don't like each other. Like, they are not fighting with each other. They just bring this energy into the situation that is harsher, that is a little more harder to process, harder to deal with. So where everything else is very like, oh, I'm discovering this new information and it's helping me heal, and it's really like, there's with this aspect, there's this little sprinkle of, there's something in here that is maybe that I maybe don't have words for yet. Maybe there's something that I still need to discover. Maybe there's something I'm still processing, basically.
The only thing that I can like think of there, mm-hmm. and you can tell me if you think this fits there or not, mm-hmm. is it has made me think about, so I'll preface this by saying this was mostly in the 80s and 90s, and that was a wild fucking time, right? Where sure. nobody got in trouble for any of the insane bullshit that they were doing ever.
Yeah.
Like, child abuse was just nobody's business.
Yep.
Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I have spent some time thinking about how pretty much any adult that was in my life had some degree of knowledge about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that there's only one adult that ever did anything tangible to try to like help get me out of that situation. Mm-hmm. They were completely fucked for it. And so the only people that I'm not talking about is that specific person. Everybody else just kind of knew and were like, you know, it'll get better, kind of, you know, just bullshit or whatever. Yeah. But I have spent some time after having like all of these more intense names and like whatever going on, kind of going like, right, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't need any like apologies or whatever, but also you're all culpable, and it's no fucking wonder I barely talk to any of you.
Yeah.
So because I'm pretty low contact with, I mean, there's a lot of the people that were adults in my life at that time that I don't talk to at all.
Yeah.
There's lots of people that were adults in my life at that time that I do genuinely really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't talk to them very much. Right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, I wonder how much of that is subconsciously the fact that like, I know it was the 80s. I know it was the 90s,
mm-hmm.
but I was a child and you were adults and you're all a little bit culpable here.
Yeah. That could definitely be it, especially with that combination. So yeah. Transiting psyche, which is what we're talking about right now, is also in a sextile with your natal psyche, who is conjunct your sun. So it's this little like, I want to shine a light on these things, and like,
yeah,
they did not happen in the dark. They did happen in front of everybody.
Also,
and then that square with secret. Mercury is saying something. Mercury is literally the one that's like, open your fucking mouth and say something.
Yeah. And
no one did.
Right.
And why didn't they?
Well, the other thing that's funny about, like, so this is another reason I say that every adult knew to some degree is because I have never known how to shut my fucking mouth. I can't shut my mouth for my own good. I can't shut my mouth for the good of, I mean, I can in the way that, like, you know, I'm only going to confront somebody that I want to, like, keep a good relationship with or whatever. And otherwise, I'll just be like, you are not worth my finite energy source. And I will just, like, disappear or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not scared of confrontation. So I have my whole life been like, I have an abusive mother. She's terrible. She's done all of this crazy shit. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't keeping it to myself even as a child, is my point. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's also something that needs to be healed and needs to be processed.
Yeah. Right?
That it wasn't just the one person that actually did the harm and the hurting and the traumatizing. How different could it have been if there was just this one person who would have gone, I'm helping you, I'm supporting you, I'm going to get you out of there.
Right. Sure.
So, and nobody did that. And that is also painful.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So that fits that. So yeah. Any other follow-up questions or
no, does that like pretty well. I have a couple things to tell you offline.
Sure.
That's fine. We can move on to my next question.
Sure.
Which, so we talked about this a little bit, not online or anything, but mm-hmm. recently, mm-hmm. where I sent you a TikTok about Hypatia.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'd heard of before, but I had totally fucking forgot about. Like, her story is really like something that I would obviously be interested in. And I have before, but I am ADHD and I just, things just go away. Yeah. And then since then, because I stopped and watched that video, I've now seen like several videos about her.
Sure.
But she's got an asteroid. And so I just want to talk about her. I just wanted to ask you about what her asteroid would be like, what she doing in yours, what she doing in mine, what's she doing in general.
Okay.
I just want to talk about her.
Sure. Okay. Do you wanna talk about
You have a better head for remembering the details of that stuff, so you should. So
okay, fair. So this is your chart and Hypatia is up here in your ninth house. Okay, so briefly, Hypatia is or was a philosopher, a female philosopher that is, in my opinion, way cooler than like the ones that get talked about a lot, like Socrates. And Socrates probably would have maybe agreed with that because Socrates also spoke highly of her. So she did say a lot of cool things. She does get forgotten, I feel like, because patriarchy sucks and everyone likes to talk about Socrates and Plato and all of the other like quote unquote great philosophers, but forget about the many, many female ones that also did exist and did write books and stuff and created things and were just overall badasses, but because of the time they lived in. And that is basically what I would put the asteroid Hypatia as representing. So she was a very smart educated woman. She was a writer. And then she got killed for it. So, because of powerful men that did not like that there was a woman that was probably smarter than them. So.
Definitely smarter than them.
So, that is just a very, like, brief. Definitely go look her up. Her name is on the screen. I'm also probably going to put it in the description somewhere so you can look up the spelling. Definitely look her up. She's one of my personal favorite philosophers. She's really cool. Yeah.
Genuinely read everything, watch everything that you can about her because it's just fascinating.
She's fascinating, yeah. So, yeah. So, again, what she would represent astrologically, what I would put her in would be, okay, so definitely smarts and everything to do with the way you think, specifically about the world and how it works, because that is what philosophy is all about, and that is what she was all about, explaining things, study, and then also teaching others the things you have discovered, so that aspect of your thinking brain. But then also how you fail to get recognized for that. How that can bite you in your ass because of the kind of society that we all live in, unfortunately, which is patriarchy. So, okay. So she, first of all, is in your Gemini, which she feels very at home in Gemini because Gemini is a very thinky sign. It's a very Geminis are in general really curious and they like study. They're also quite ADHD. So Geminis don't really like, I'm speaking about the archetype here, not necessarily everyone that has a Gemini sun is going to be this way. The archetype of Gemini is what I'm speaking about. Is not someone who will be able to focus on one subject at a time and just really do a deep dive study. They want to, like, oh, I want to know a little bit about this. And, oh, shiny new subject. I'm going to now study this. And, oh, look over there. There's another exciting, important thing I'm going to learn about, right? It's that kind of energy. Which feels very fitting for Hypatia. So I feel like she feels very comfortable in Gemini and also in your ninth house.
Yeah, which so, would be like, so if this is if she had a house that if she was going to rule a house, it would be the ninth house.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, very comfortable, very at home here. About you, to close the circle, would just tell me that you probably like these things and you are interested in figuring things out, how does the world work, any kind of philosophical subjects, religious subjects, anything to do with these like less physical, less concrete things that you could study, like this is not necessarily someone that likes to study physics and chemistry and stuff. It's more out there. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally my role on this podcast is to just show up and ask you a bunch of random questions about like whatever the fuck. So
yes.
So that makes sense to me. I have something to say about the aspects, but
I was just gonna say and with her being in Gemini, that gives you like this specifically very curious, which fits what you just said. Like, I want to ask questions, I want to figure things out. I'm constantly on this path of having someone explain things to me. It doesn't have to be a physical someone, it can also be I want to look this up in a book or like anything like that. Yeah.
When I was a youth, I used to sit and read encyclopedias for fun. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That does not surprise me.
I would like to do just a super short run through of all of these aspects. But one thing that I want to say is, so she has, because of the way that my screen is messed up, I can't tell if that's a trine or a sextile. between the sun and psyche.
That's the sextile.
Sextile. Mm-hmm. So, but we have not put this asteroid into this, but also closely conjunct psyche and the sun is Sappho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just saw that and thought that was funny.
Yeah. And I think we've seen that before in other parts of your chart, but I don't remember which ones. But basically what this tells me is that you are into that kind of women. Like, you want the smart, the thinky women, mm-hmm. the ones that don't always necessarily comply with what society tells you, but but have their own brain and make up their own minds. That is the Sappho aspect, like the sextile with Sappho that Hypatia would have. And then the sextile with Psyche, you like thinking about these things, specifically things to do with psychology, with how does the brain work and how does things that happen to us affect the way that the brain work and all things like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the sun, being in a sextile with the sun, you also like to learn about yourself.
Yeah.
And the way you work. Yeah. Then the trine, with your moon and Pluto in your first house, you like to learn about emotions. You like to learn about things to do with death and also overthrowing things. So it also gives a little bit of a rebellious sprinkle.
Yeah.
They're studying power and how power works, because okay. Pluto also represents like power structures and leaders and things like that.
Yeah.
Then it's in an opposition with Neptune, which is interesting when you think about that. Some of your trauma is at least in a secondary way related to to religious trauma.
Oh, sure. Correct? Absolutely. Yeah.
So that is basically that. So you like Neptune down here is like the dreamy part, the spiritual part, the part that also is fine with sometimes lying to yourself, maybe. And then Hypatia is going like, we're not doing that. We don't like that. We want to like hard facts. We want hard facts and like be very grounded, at least in this specific area of your life. I don't really want any like dreamy up in the cloud stuff. I want the good stuff.
Yeah.
the hard facts stuff. And then the square with Mercury, you might sometimes have a harder time retaining the things you're studying and then also being able to tell other people about it. So it's that sense of, I know this, like I've heard this before, and I know this. Sometimes also this feeling of, I know that this is right because I know that I've gotten to the conclusion by studying this subject, but I forgot the parts that made me come to the conclusion. I just remember the conclusion I came to.
Yeah.
That kind
that's
of.
That's accurate. That's something okay. I do.
So, and then, and then with that, okay, how do I now explain to other people that this is the conclusion I came to because I can't explain to you that this is my conclusion, but I can't explain to you why I came to that conclusion because I forgot that part.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. Where so is she?
That is Hypatia in yours. Let's see where she is in. There she is. Oh, interesting.
So we both are like, ooh.
So for those of you who can't see the screen, Hypatia is in my 12th house in Sagittarius, which again is a placement where I'm like, oh, she likes it in there because Sagittarius is in some sense the opposite of Gemini in another sense very similar to Gemini. It's just a little less ADHD and a little more on the autistic side of the spectrum is what it always feels like to me. So again, Sagittarius loves study and specifically higher learning. So anything to do with religion and worldviews and philosophy and all of these things, politics, are very Sagittarius themes. So she definitely feels comfortable there.
Not why I made that sound.
It's also not why I made that sound. It's just the first thing I'm saying. I'm going to get to the thing why I made that sound.
Okay.
But yeah, so the difference here compared to yours, where she was in your ninth, so it was like she's very comfortable, cozy in there. You love studying, like worldview related things. Being in the 12th house, she likes to, or I, like, and this is accurate, I can say that because I know myself. I like to study the things that are more hidden from view. So the 12th house is all to do about the places where we are apart from the world, where we are alone, maybe lonely, not necessarily though. That can be physical places like hospitals and prisons are definitely ruled by the 12th house, but it can also be a mental state of, you know, I'm isolating myself from the world a little bit. And that's definitely true. I'm very fascinated by all of these aspects. I have a morbid fascination with closed down mental institutions. Which is a weird fact about me. I'm very interested in looking those up and looking at pictures of them and finding out the history of them and why they got shut down and then all the horror stories that take place in those, because they are very creepy places. So that is a weird hyperfixation of mine. Another weird hyperfixation of mine is World War II. I think that also fits in here, like all of these very weird, dark, sort of taboo subjects that no one wants to talk about. I'm interested in those. You were saying,
still not why I made the sound.
No, also not why I made the sound. Okay, so why I made the sound is that it's in an opposition with my natal moon over in my sixth house. Was that the one you made the sound about too? No. Okay. So you can tell me in a minute. Which I find fascinating because, so that 12th house placement of Hypatia also definitely encapsulates that I also like to learn about the psyche. Mental health is also here. I love learning about anything to do with mental health issues, psychology, all of these things. But when it comes to my own fucking emotions, which are represented by my moon, I have no fucking clue. I like in retrospect, I know what was going on with myself, but in the moment, I have no clue what I'm feeling. I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask my husband B. They probably know better than I know myself. So that is very funny to me. So why did you make that sound?
I made that sound. Well, really quickly, before I get into that part. So, so she is an expert, right? She is like unequivocally an expert, right? Mm-hmm. She is also in a trine with your Jupiter, which would expand her expertise, and also in a trine with the North Node. So that would be like a bunch of life purposey kind of what we're supposed to be doing. Stuff, right?
Yep.
And in the play, so she's taking all of this expertise and hiding it from you. And you're always like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, my thought would be this, but I don't know. I'm not the expert. I'm like, you're literally the fucking expert. So that's why I made that sound. Because I was just like, bitch, really? Like, we go round and round about this all the time.
Do you know what makes this even funnier?
You didn't even see any of that. None of it. Right. Because it's hidden.
No, I was like, so I was focused on the stuff I was talking about. And then, you know, in the back of my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to look at those down there later. And then I was like asking you. Mm-hmm. And then you said that you were seeing that. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that means. For some reason, I don't have an instant idea of
that's what
telling
that
me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I mean, yeah, you out astrologied me.
Because also, here's something funny. So, okay, so her being in the 12th house and your like astrology, like so studying astrology would be, right?
Mm-hmm,
yep. Partially there. It's other places too, but like your expertise in astrology would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently so I know this because we very recently had this conversation because how mm-hmm. we make content. So we have different strengths and weaknesses when it comes to creating TikTok content. And so the things that drain you do not drain me, and the things that drain me do not drain you on it. And so when we were like figuring that out, one of the things was, as I was like, right, you are the expert on astrology. So when we're like going, this is what this means, and this is what it means through all of these signs, and this is what it means through all of the houses, and this is the answer to your question, and like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, so I need you to answer like all of these questions. And you're like, right, but that's really exhausting. I'm just like, point a camera at your face and just start talking. And you're like, right, but then I have to edit it and like all of the stuff, and I have to talk about it in this really roundabout way that then has to be edited. And I'm like, right, and editing takes no energy for me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, talking in a linear fashion and editing is so draining to me. And so I think it's really funny that she's like in a square with the Mercury in the second house, right?
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, I fucking hate that part. And I'm like, well, lucky for you, that takes nothing for me. So, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, and then it just got instantly like way easier.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And it's interesting because I also feel like my specific Mercury placement. So my Mercury is in my second house, it's in Pisces, and it's in retrograde. And all of that combined always makes me feel like it is a very good representation of my specific kind of neurodivergence. My ADHD is probably what it is, but I don't have any diagnosis for it. So who the fuck knows? Probably also combined with CPTSD and other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's spicy. It's very spicy. So, so it's interesting because that's what makes it hard for me to like, as you can tell right now, I have to talk in a linear fashion so that people will understand what the hell it is that I'm trying to explain to them. And that is very hard for me because that is not how my brain works. My brain is all over the place. And while I'm talking about one thing, it's seeing another thing. And then now this pops into my head and I need to say that thing, because if I don't say it immediately, then I will forget about it. So yeah. And then you want me to go in and edit my fucking rambling where I have to make decisions about which parts are making sense to other people and which parts I have to, no, don't make me do that. I don't want to do that. So
editing is fine for me. Editing is always my favorite part of every artistic process.
That's that works great because then you can just do it and I don't have to.
Yeah.
So fine. Yeah. Yeah. So we've basically covered it. I mean, the last little bit is like it's in a sextile with my Venus and my Juno, also in my second house. So I'm pulling a lot of resources basically from that Hypatia placement because she has a lot of contact to my second house, right? So it affects that. There's some hidden expertise, apparently, that I'm drawing from.
You also
I'm not are... even aware of that I'm doing that.
Right. But you also like smart ladies.
I also am very much into smart. Anyone that is not a cis man, basically.
Yeah.
Persons. So, Yeah, that is definitely also correct. Yeah.
I really enjoy that we're making that exact same sound for totally different reasons.
That was funny. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, it is very fitting that you had to explain this part because I didn't see it.
I have learned lots of astrology.
It's very meta.
Like, you're definitely the expert. There's lots that I don't know about it. But also, sure. I have now been talking to you about it for 5 years, and I have learned some things. Uh-huh. So,
yeah.
You might as well leave this open. So, well, first of all, do you have more to say about her?
Well, just a tiny bit. So, we've now talked a lot about her being an expert and the thinking things that she does. I do want to recapture that she also has the aspect of, so how do we not get recognized for that? And how do we possibly even suffer not so fun consequences? Because she did get killed for being a smart woman, for being a philosopher, for speaking out about the things that she was thinking about. She got killed for that.
Yeah.
But that is the reason why I didn't talk about that before, is because it's harder to explain that while someone is still alive. Because, you know, being recognized for something is usually something that happens after we die, or when we reach an older age or a later part of life.
Okay.
At least is more like, very few of us get very famous or very known or very recognized for the way we're thinking while we're still very young, is what I'm trying to say. So this would be interesting to look up, and I can do that. I'm not really going to do that now because it's going to make this like 3 hours longer.
It will be coming to the TikTok.
It will be coming to the TikTok possibly. And also, I'm definitely just going to look that up and send Veda a bunch of voice notes about it. But I am interested in looking Hypatia up in important famous thinkers of the past, where you can make comments about, okay, so were they recognized for the way they were thinking, and how did they suffer any kind of consequences for it? Like, the first one that's popping into my head is like Galileo Galilei. Like, where did he have Hypatia? That I would be interested in seeing that. And you know, or like Jeanne d'Arc, people like that, right? So people that suffered very heavy, dark consequences for thinking the way they were thinking. Okay, smart. Now I'm done.
Okay. So now you can just add so I was like, you might as well leave this open because this next one definitely will need a chart.
Okay.
So this is going to be referencing a conversation that we had so long ago. I don't remember. Again, I can't tell you like how I got to this. I can only remember that the key. So, you know, just to throw that back to.
Yeah. There it is.
So years ago, we were talking about the Furies, and I can't remember why we were talking about the Furies, but you looked them up in my chart and you were like, oh my God, that's why you have this superpower. And I can't remember what even that was, but you were like, I think it was about protection. I think you were like, but whatever it was, you're like, that is what, like, you've got like a really good Furies placement. And then I remember that we had a whole conversation about how like everybody can find their personal superpower through. And so because I don't really remember it, I was like, I'll ask. This is also the one that was left over from last week, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So let's look it up in yours and mine.
Okay. So because my chart is still open, I'm just going to use that briefly. Yeah, so, okay, just to recap, who are the Furies? The Furies are, or the Erinya, which they're also called, or the Eumenides, which they're also sometimes called, in various different kinds of spelling. We just had an entire conversation about that I had to cut out, because I had to look for which of the asteroid has that name and what the name is spelled like. And it took me a couple of minutes to figure that out. So they are figures, plural, of Greek mythology. There's three Furies, and basically they are... they do represent anger. That is why they are called Furies, but it's a very righteous kind of anger. So it's not a random kind of we're angry just to be angry. They are a very protective energy. They are a very, in some modern retellings, if you want to call them that, they are very feminist. So they are definitely directed at men harming women and or children in specific ways. They get very angry and mad about that. And then they will find the men and do a chomp chomp, basically. It is interesting because we started out talking about how in your chart, they give very protective energy, and we can look back at that, how they are placed in your chart. But looking at mine, first of all, they're retrograde. So it's all very internalized. So all my protective energy has to come from me. I can't wait for an outside source to do that for me. I have to do it myself, which, to be quite frank, sucks. That is rude.
But also, if any time I talk to you and you're just like, yeah, hold on, I'll have to get back to you. I'm doing baneful magic and I've got this gross substance that I'm doing with or whatever. It is always because some man did some fuckery somewhere and probably to one of your kids.
Yeah.
Near a child or something.
I have one baneful working that I've done in my entire life that I have done because someone harmed me and only me.
Yeah.
All the other baneful work I have ever done in my entire life is because someone has hurt my children.
Yeah. But I feel like that because you've done some baneful workings, like so I'm not like, you know, oh, I've got like a moral thing about it. I don't. Mm-hmm. But I also don't really do them because I'm just kind of like.
But because you already have that protection. And again, we're going to check
how
different it is for you. But just look at the colors.
Yeah. Like,
almost all of that is red.
Yeah. I just mean that it makes sense to me that your superpower is to like go within yourself and be like, well.
Yeah. I have to do it myself. I have to take care of that because no one else will. It's so if you can't see the screen, so it's in my ninth house, but it's in a square with my natal Saturn and Uranus. So we're having lots of limitations thrown in there. Lots of restrictions, lots of like Uranus is like, yeah, I want to do the protection. I want to give it to you, but like not in a standard conventional way. And then the Furies are like, yeah, no, you're not going to do anything. It's in an opposition with my sun. So, my ego can't be a part of it. This is why it's way harder to do protection for myself because it's in an opposition with my sun. And it's also in an opposition with my Jupiter. And Jupiter is like basically putting a lid on that and going like, we're not doing that. So the only harmonious aspect here is memory.
Nemesini.
That one.
Yeah, I don't know. I fuck that it up one. All the time. Yeah.
Right? That is still in here because we've just had a conversation about her in one of your previous questions. So, if you hurt me, I will fucking remember. I will remember forever. I will never forget. And chances are I will not let you forget. But can I protect myself from you hurting me again? I have to pull that shit out of myself. I cannot expect the universe or anyone around me to be protective of me. And that is accurate. No one is. And no one ever has been. Like, even when I was a kid, I was the one protecting my parents.
Yeah.
I wasn't the one being protected. So, yeah. Sure. That is very painfully accurate.
Just keep pulling back into the childhood trauma.
Okay, where is she?
I think she's in the second house.
Oh, yeah, that one makes sense. Yeah, she is. Or they are.
Technically. They are, yeah.
So they are in your second house. They are a resource. And again, for you, they're also retrograde. So you also pull that out of yourself somewhat.
Okay.
So first of all, she's conjunct Uranus. And Uranus does have protective energy. And, you know, but just in unconventional ways. Also technological possibly, because Uranus also rules technology. So
okay,
it's like just an interesting fact. They are in a sextile with Saturn. So Saturn is going like, yep, I'm limiting anyone coming in here and doing any harm to you. Like we're as in Saturn and the Furies, we are working great together. Like all the shit that Saturn is doing and has been doing in your chart. But this is something where Saturn is like, this is a very great placement for Saturn to be in. Like, and Saturn in your 12th house, specifically protection from any, like anything that is attacking your mental health. Like, And I know this for a fact about you. Like, no one can come in from outside and say something to you that will then make your mental health crumble. Like, that just doesn't...
No, I don't care.
That doesn't ever... That is not a possibility.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen.
About that. Does this opposition with my super gay Venus Vesta mean that pretty girls are my downfall?
I mean, that's a way to say that, basically. Yeah, okay. It could be. it could also mean that that is just where tension lies. So that can mean that you are maybe drawn to someone that is very protective over you, but then maybe there's an aspect of you where you're like, but I don't want to need protection from someone else.
Well, I don't like a mommy, so there's...
So, like, I don't want to be taken care of in that way.
Yeah, no.
See, so there's that conflict. But in general, like the type of woman or person I'm interested in, will be like more will be the protective kind of woman or person, and. I know that you do like mask presenting women. I do like that you, I do know that you like the, you know, strong female.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So they often are the protective kind, but then that's the tension because I don't want a caretaker. I don't want that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Okay.
And then it is squaring both your nodes. So that just tells me that that is very this life specific. So it's not necessarily something that you've had in previous experiences on this in this realm.
Sure.
And you might not carry it forward.
Okay.
It's just a very this thing. Then that square to Mars. This is not so Mars wants to get heated and aggressive and violent, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that is not what the Furies are doing. We're not here to punch someone in the face. We're just here to not even let it get that far.
Yeah.
So we're stepping in before anything like that could even happen. And then Mars is like, okay, but you're taking all the fun out of it.
Yeah. I'm just kind of like, I could not care that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I mean, that really tracks. Okay.
Yeah. And then Juno Obinyar, 10th, is in a trine with them. So there's the smarts aspect and also the mental aspect of like that part of you specifically is like very protective. Like no one can hurt you by saying words to you, basically, or like, or even thinking things about you. You like it. It doesn't affect you.
None of my business
in any kind of way.
Yeah.
And also Juno is about the about relationships and jealousy and stuff. So you are very protective when it comes to that area of your life, right? Yeah. So relationships in general aren't abusive or hurtful because you are very protective, protected. And also jealousy is probably not an issue in relationships for you because there's like the Furies are there like taking care of that. Like that doesn't even enter your space, your life.
You know, it's really funny because we have a friend that sort of loves jealousy. Relationships, like she totally gets off on it. And I'm just like, that sounds boring as fuck. Like every time we talk about it, like her and I talk about it kind of a lot. And every time she's just like, oh, I think it's so sexy. And I'm just like, I'm even bored hearing you say that to me, like, let alone that actually being a thing that's happening around me. Like I cannot understand it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that being true for you. I somewhat get it because I used to be like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not at all anymore. But I also get your side of it where I'm like,
yeah,
that just sounds not even boring. It just sounds tiring to me and exhausting. And I don't want to have to do that's just I'm tired already. Just leave me alone with that.
Yeah. So to me, it's like both of those things equally, right? Like boring and exhausting.
Yeah.
But she's got so much Scorpio energy that she's like, I think it's sexy. And I'm just like, well, you can have all of it. I'm just not. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And then the last little thing is like this trine to Pallas, which again is the mind and the thinking and the strategizing and the so. If you ever were someone that needed to take revenge on someone or that needed to protect someone else, maybe in some way, this is the way you do it. So again, you're not the Mars kind. You're not going to, oh, I'm going to go there and I'm going to punch them in the face. You're going to, no, I'm going to strategize and they're not even going to know what's coming for them.
I have done that. Right. But it's, it's, like you said, it's not ever for me. It's for somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's usually for people that can't help themselves, right?
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, oh, okay. Well, I can move these pieces. Mm-hmm. I also, I don't know if you can see this, probably you can. But so I'm happy to strategically move some pieces in the background that like, whatever, that they don't see coming, but like, super fucks them up, but I always add in something that, like, if they just stop being an asshole, like, nothing will happen. But if they, like, do something shitty, sorry, you've tripped into this huge snare bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is already very, very Pallas Athena. So Pallas is has a very protective energy, especially when it comes to creatures that are not capable of protecting themselves. So she also rules animals. She's like a sort of a forest deity in some aspects of her.
Okay. So
she's also, she is Pallas Athena. So she is the protector of Athens, right? So she is the great, the one deity that people in Athens would go like, oh, protect us from, you know, war and from people entering the city in malicious ways and blah blah blah. So she is a protective kind of energy. And then also she's in Pisces, and that's a very Pisces thing too, right? Protecting the ones that can't protect themselves. And then also I don't want to hurt you. It's just consequences, baby. It's like, it's consequences of your own actions. If you don't do bullshit, then I don't have to give you consequences. That is a very kind of Pisces energy, because it takes a lot to make Pisces angry. But if a Pisces get angry, you better hide. You better seek cover. So, yeah. Does that answer your question? Do you have follow-ups?
No, I think that answers.
Cool.
So. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I liked this one. I mean, I like all of them, but I liked this one in particular. I think it was a really deep episode, but still entertaining, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean,
lots of good, important things.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know, I'd had all of this stuff coming up just like nonstop. Like, so I was just kind of like, that's got to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's old enough that it's funny is maybe not the right word, but it's like easy to say in lighthearted ways because,
yes,
you know,
we can do it in this format of like a podcast where we also kind of want to be entertaining and maybe a little educational, so that, you know,
they all tied together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what I mean. My questions do not.
No, but this one was very flowy and a very like, on subject kind of episode. I like that. Cool. Yeah. Well done.
Yep. Anytime. That's what I'm here for. So.
Okay. Well, hopefully any listeners enjoyed it as much as I did. If you did, do all the things, leave comments and likes and shares and all the interaction, basically.
Yeah.
And then we will hear you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.